Good morning. I'm happy to be back again to open the Administrative Student Committee for Wednesday, June 11, 2014, and confirm a quorum.
Yes, we have a quorum.
Okay. We'll move on to the consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved. Second.
Okay. We have a motion by Glover, second by, was that Campos? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none. We'll move to item number three, which is MTC Resolution 4151, which is the fiscal year 2014-15 MTC agency budget. Mr. Mayhew.
Good morning again, commissioners. Nice to see you again. I'm still Brian Mayhew, and I'm still going to go over components of the budget. With me is still Eva Sun, who actually runs the whole budget process and takes all the tough questions. Let me run over just a couple of things real quickly. First of all, we put some information in the packet, in your memo, that we've sort of talked about in the past and sort of not quite done. MTC comes in sort of two flavors. One is what in your home jurisdictions you probably know as the general fund. That's MTC. That's what operates everything. It has personnel rules, maintains payroll systems, does all the things that a general fund does. The other component of MTC, and we're going to get to that part in a couple seconds, is that portion of it that you've been talking about a little earlier that is all over, that's mainly grant funded. Those budgets are adopted on a life-to-date basis in accordance with state law. What allows that to do is make a budget action once, and project stays in place until the funding is completed, the project is completed, and you don't take a further action on it. And then what we do during a budget is add into, we just add to it until they're all completed. That's a way of sort of saying that MTC is the parent organization of a lot of different funds, a lot of different enterprises. The parent organization of BATA, it is the parent organization of SAFE, it is the parent organization of BAHA and BAFA and every other part of the alphabet soup we've thrown at it. So what we've done is we've sort of summarized up on the first one is the totality of MTC's responsibility, which again is $750 million. Most of that's in BATA. We've already done that budget. We won't revisit that one. But again, you begin to see the totality of the sort of enormous responsibility MTC has, not just in running tolls and running SAFE and running highways and everything else. It's a lot of money. It's just plain, flat out a lot of money. To do that, we have to have a number of positions. I know a few years ago when we started running through the recession budgets, there were questions as to how come we don't have to cut bodies, how come we're not facing financial problems that others were doing. And the main protection that MTC gets in a process, particularly from economic stuff, although we suffered the same as everybody, and that is that we use a lot of project-based employees. So we've put on page two the total sort of workforce that makes up MTC and all of its component units. Those bodies, you can see there's a 200, just going to 15, there are 201 regular employees. Those are full-time regular employees. They come in through payroll, have all the controls and benefits associated with them. The next level of full-time employees are what are called project-based employees. These employees are hired, generally speaking, on a term basis for the length of a project that we don't want to put regular employees on because the project itself is going to go away or it's designed to go away. The last two components of it, we use another contract for replacing administrative personnel and for hiring highly technical people. And then finally, there are hourly employees. But the basics of MTC and the basics of the salary structure or the position structure here is the ability to use these project-based employees. We hire them. They are actually hired through a contract. They are benefited employees. Some benefited through PERS, some benefited through Social Security, depending on the position. And they stay. They know they're coming in for a project, and then when the project is over, now as what will happen in some cases, and we're doing this year, and we did again last year, some of those projects continue to go on. They're not going to end. We convert them over. We have funding. We convert them over to long-range projects. And then we convert the employees from these project-based employees to regular employees. So, for example, there'll be 10 additional employees in MTC's payroll. Well, if you approve all the payroll processes this year, there'll be 10 new ones next year. 7 will be new. 3 will be converted from these project-based and go over onto permanent status because the projects themselves are going to are now part of our long range and our formal processes. So that's the scope and that's the positions. Now let's go to the operating budget itself. From the operating budget standpoint, again, we've added, roughly, I think, 2 new positions. There will be 2 new position, regular positions put into the budget. As far as contract or project-based, there are 5 new ones of those as well, which fall into the contractual side of it. Overall, revenue will be up about 4%. The good part of the 4% is, of course, the sales taxes, and I think you've all seen in your home jurisdictions. It's on the 4th year of increase, increasing faster in some counties, slower in others. But generally speaking, now everybody, every county is getting components of the recovery. We're seeing it, and so we're actually seeing, the 4th year of increase, and that's just plain good for everybody, including us, because it adds to our revenue base. From the expense standpoint, as I said, we've added 2 new positions that will come into the budget. Expenses will be up the same 4%. The revenue is up. Not really many changes other than that. As I said, we go through, as you said, the agency temporaries. There are 5 new project-based employees. They come in. They'll have their own funding sources. Again, as I was asked before, if the funding sources go away, the theory is the project-based employees go away as well. Contractual services, you'll find that on page 5 of Attachment A. Again, not much change there. Big thing is we're transferring $125,000 in ABAG. Some planning responsibilities will go from ABAG to us, and so the ABAG contract will be reduced by $125,000. Okay. As far as other expenses, again, these are the general sort of... what do you call them? Miscellaneous expenses we use to run the place, administer the place. This is the biggest change here. It's up a little bit, about $454,000. Most of that's software, as we're getting ready to go into the new building and the licenses on the GIS system. Now, the other part of MTC is the multi-year federal grants. That is on page 7 of the budget. You will see every one of them. The budgets, what we've spent, what we're proposing for the $78 million we will add next year. And by, as you look at MTC, its entire budget is $56 million. You're adding $78 million in federal grants next year. Why we use so many project-based employees. That'll bring the total of life-to-date ongoing grants and operations, $166 million. Capital projects, one major change, $750,000 next year. Mainly, we're adding some things for the new building and the addition of some component. I'm sorry. Adding some, the move to the new building and what is the other one? Oh, yeah, the capital equipment. Sorry, new glasses. Driving me nuts. I can't see anything in that. Anyway, and then the last piece, Clipper. Clipper is a self-contained enterprise of MTC's. The big thing there, the budget, the operating budget is $34 million. Most of that is to operate the center, some for outreach, some for customer service. The biggest component here is that the capital side of it will go up $17 million for the expansion of the Clipper system, and that will bring the total life-to-date of that project to $225 million. So it's a very, very significant effort. And then finally, discussion of the reserve balances. We have roughly $18 million in undesignated reserves now. The rest are restricted for various components, and the money will be spent as the year goes over, switches over to next year. The most important thing here is with the large capital programs, grant programs we have, and the Clipper programs, all of these are reimbursable programs. Without liquidity, you'll be running these programs on a ability to fund them and not the ability to do them basis. So The need to maintain the reserve, we obviously have a target of about 6 months. That works really well for us. The unrestricted reserve is at 3 months now. Again, it takes about a month to bill, takes about a month to clear it, and then get it back. So 3 months is, we're in pretty decent shape. I'd like it to be four, but at this stage, it should keep the liquidity we need and allow you to do the projects as you wish to do them. With that, everything else is contained in the memo. I'd be happy to answer questions.
Yes, Mr. Haggerty. Commissioner Haggerty.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just because it seems like I get drug into this later, and I know Dave Cortese does too, but this $125,000 that you're now taking away from ABAG because of, I guess, we've moved the planner over into MTC, has there been a discussion with ABAG, and do they concur with that and understand it?
Alex Bockelman, Deputy Executive Director for Policy. In terms of discussions with ABAG, yes, the executive directors have met and discussed this. And there is going to be a discussion, I believe, at the administration committee on Friday at ABAG to discuss this. So that's one of the reasons that we plan to bring to the full commission at the end of the month a revision of the multi-year framework as well as the proposed agreement for 15. We did want to allow ABAG to discuss this with their committee members. So that there has been a discussion and a general agreement between the executive directors, but we wanted to allow a little more time for discussion between Ezra and his board.
Commissioner Campos.
Thank you. This is not necessarily a budget item, but it's included in the budget. I'm wondering if you can, with respect to the employees of the MTC, if you can talk a little bit about generally how that hiring works, how the process works in terms of recruitment. And, you know, we live in a very large, diverse region. Just wondering if you can talk a little bit about that.
You know, Robin, maybe you could come up and provide some background into that. I mean, we follow a very public process for it, and we do engage, you know, as many resources as we can to get the information out there. But Robin James is our head of human resources, so it might be best to let you start.
Good morning. And I have to admit that I was talking to my boss and not entirely listening to your question. What was the question again?
We live in a very and represent a very diverse region, and we have a number of employees in this agency. I'm just wondering if you can talk a little bit about how the hiring process works, how the recruitment process works to make sure that every member of the region has an equal opportunity to compete for these positions.
Sure, thank you. MTC's recruiting policy that was established a couple decades ago and is reviewed and updated as frequently as necessary purposely addresses the diversity in our nine-county region. We do recruit both regionally, statewide, and nationally, depending on the level of the position, since the work we do is fairly unique and very specialized. There are two entry-level positions that we run, one of which you just approved a contract for on consent a minute ago, and that is there are two summer high school and college internship programs purposely designed to start very early in people in our region's careers in orienting them towards transit-related work. And then when we go to recruit, our outreach to where we post and where we attend career fairs or where we add additional consulting services to help us reach into certain associations is all embedded in our every standard recruitment process. And that's, we try to stay engaged with the committee members and the commission members too, to use them to assist us as well.
Maybe we should have this as a separate agenda item, but respectfully, I don't think you intended it to come across this way, but the idea that you talk about diversity in the context of entry-level positions is something that doesn't really, I think, bode very well for the agency. I think that we want to know, I certainly would like to have a breakdown of all of the demographics for all of the positions, and it's not just entry-level high school positions that we're talking about. We're talking about dozens of positions, and I want to know exactly how it is that you recruit for those positions. And I would hope that the issue of diversity goes beyond the entry-level positions, that you're actually thinking about it in the context of high-level positions, including the people who sit at this.
Yes, Commissioner, that's not what my intent was, nor what I was communicating. So we do have all of our statistics, both for recruiting and for our current staff, both our employee staff and our third-party project-based staff. We do all of these measures on every single recruitment we open up. That includes, as I mentioned at the end of what I just talked about, is that our advertising and posting status is particularly designed to reach out to diverse associations, and we're talking about full diversity through the full Title VII of all kinds. It is a very active part of MTC's mission and part of its drive. And the reason we do emphasize the college and the high school internships is because, like a lot of industries, we do believe we live in a very unique, diverse community. And if we can encourage people to go into this industry and this field, we are assisting in future hiring. That's a big emphasis as well. But our full recruitment engages all of those activities. And yes, we could do this separately at another time.
I'd like to request that we have that we agendize as a separate item the recruitment and personnel policies that we have, and I certainly would like to have a breakdown in all of the information to make sure that when you have a policy that has been in place for 20 years, I think it's important for the policy body to make sure that we revisit that, because a lot of things have changed in 20 years.
Commissioner Campos, we'd be happy to do that. Thank you for that.
Okay, Commissioner Kwan and Commissioner Glover.
Thank you. Thank you for talking about the reserves. I was, so if it's 50%, does that mean that our reserves, are, we have a reserve that's nearly 50% of our operating budget, if it's 6 months?
Based on the operating budget, right.
So that's a very high percentage, it's about 50%.
Yes.
I'm used to measuring in percentages, so if you could just help me out here.
50% of the MTC operating budget, but the totality of that budget goes beyond to all the grants and Clipper and everything else, and really that all administers through the same process, which 50% might be a tough high one to achieve, but it also, considering the totality of what we need as far as liquidity, it's a good goal. It's a good and solid goal.
Okay. And so when the rating agencies look at us, that's what they're looking at?
No, not here, but yes. I mean, they look at liquidity from the standpoint of what you can do with bondholders, but none of these funds are pledged to bondholders, so they'll only look at those ones that are. But yes, liquidity is one of the major, major things they look at.
So I know that we're going to be having to change how we report out as public agencies. Do we have our pension fund? I believe I remember asking this before. Our pension fund is well funded.
Well, the pension fund itself is a standard PERS trust, and I think we're roughly at 78%, and it dropped, as everybody else's did, with the losses of PERS and the recession and the actuarial changes. It will also change with the new actuarial computations that go in next year, and the new accounting standards will actually be adjusting for that.
So we're currently at about 78%?
Mm-hmm. The OPEB itself is funded to about 60%, and that's held in another pension trust over at PARS, Public Agency Retirement Services, I think is what it's called. But PARS holds that trust, and I think that's funded to about 50 to 60%. It uses a very different and much lower actuarial value than PERS does. We use 5% there, I think 5.25% versus the 7.75% of PERS. So that's why that one is a little less funded. It's still a healthy funding level for an OPEB type of account, but a little less because of the actuary.
So that's actually very similar to Oakland, but we're both going to be hit next year with the new actuarial standards. So are we going to make a budget adjustment?
We are looking at the long-range impacts of the CalPERS changes, and when we get I think they're due out in the fall with a little more clarity as to what which of the actuarial standards are the actuarials versus the assets and the liabilities. It's going to be some we're going to have a good, solid look at it. They've given us, for once, PERS is being very, very upfront and very transparent, and they have given us marvelous models to work with. And so we have run our models on what the impact is going to be, and then we'll start looking at, like most people, I really don't want to get caught in the trap of escalating pensions, taking away from ongoing work. So we're going to take a good, solid look at that and when we get the numbers in the fall. It would not require a budget adjustment in this year, but it's certainly going to have some financial impacts as we're going into the future, and we're going to take a solid look at it before we come back next year.
So I guess what my question is it necessary? Like, so for in Oakland, we're putting aside an additional fund at this point because we expect some bump in the following year. So we're creating some additional reserves for that. I also think it's important to just communicate clearly what the expectation of the funding is. So because it's campaign season, some people are saying, oh, you have $1 billion of unfunded pensions. I said, well, but we are funded to 80%, and that's the standard. Not everybody retires at the same time. I'd like to know what the same figures would be for MTC.
If you look at the last page, table 4, you'll see we put the bump in starting in 13, anticipating that rather than have to adjust the budgets, we're going to set aside it's a few years of it, set aside here just for when we actually see it. So you'll see in the first line of the benefits reserve, we've actually set aside some money.
So we've already
for
started
that
doing that.
Yes, we started in 13, and we'll keep going until we see the final numbers.
So what do we think that will be?
When I think I'll see the final numbers?
Yes.
I wish I honestly, dealing with PERS, it's nice that they have the new transparency. The bad part is we have no idea when they're delivering it because they're up to here with the new accounting standards.
Okay. So, but we think we'll be close.
Before budget next year, certainly around mid-year sometime.
Okay. Right? Thank you.
Commissioner Glover, did you have a comment or question?
Yes, thank you. I just want to go back and echo the comments coming from Commissioner Campos and ask that this go to the appropriate committee and then a review to the total body.
Commissioner Glover, we'd be happy to.
Thank you.
And Chairperson,
yes.
I was wondering if we could also include our contracting, because I've asked for that before. So if we're going to look at personnel, let's do our subcontracting too.
Okay. Is that Andy? Is that?
Yeah, actually, we are planning on coming in the next couple of months with an update on our contracting practices, and so we can marry the two.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any other comments from the commissioners? If not, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Motion by
Glover.
Glover. Second by, was that Brzezinski?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none. We do have a closed session scheduled next, and for those of you that do need to leave the room, if you'd be sure to take everything with you. And we will come back into open session after the closed session to report out. The committee met in closed session pursuant to Government Section 54957.6 regarding ongoing negotiations of a new memorandum of understanding with representative agency employee groups effective July 1, 2014. Designated representatives for MTC are Steve Heminger and Andy Vermeer. In the absence of Steve Heminger today, Andrew Vermeer will be acting as designee of Steve Heminger. The employee organization's representative Committee for Staff Representation and Committee for Staff Representation Confidential. There was no reportable action, but I have appointed a subcommittee to meet before the next the commission meeting. It's Commissioners Glover, Worth, and Tissier.
An ad hoc
committee, yes. Okay. Do we need any action on that or just the report out? Okay, we just reported out. Thank you very much. We're now back in open session, and now we're on to other business public comments. I have no cards. So with that, we will adjourn.